Monday, June 22nd. Good day to be a fantasy baseballer. Bad day to be an Arizona Diamondbacks fan.
Such a bad day to be a Diamondbacks fan. I would be incensed if I was a Diamondbacks fan today, Adam. But I'm not. I'm a Braves fan. So, pretty happy.
You're the opposite of incensed.
Yeah, so congratulations, Scott.
Incensed.
Tell the good
people out there. Listeners should be incensed about?
What's that?
That we did not inform them that Friday was your birthday.
Well, Chris did. First of all, we did inform them. Yeah,
oh,
Chris brought it up.
Okay.
Well, we didn't make an even bigger deal out of it
like I want to do right now.
Just in case anybody is wondering, no, I'm not going to let you make a big deal out of this, by the way. As you can tell, I'm steering this conversation in other places. I'm back in New York. I miss you guys. But in case anybody's wondering what the heck we're talking about, Scott, the Braves and the Diamondbacks were involved in a trade. It's not fantasy relevant yet. But,
no.
But most people seem to think the Diamondbacks don't know what they're doing.
So, yeah. So the Braves got Bronson Arroyo, who's working his way back from Tommy John surgery. You know, he's making some money this year. He's going to need a buyout next year, assuming they don't want to keep him. So, you know, some money owed to him. But not years and years of money. So they got Arroyo and they got Touki Toussaint, top pitching prospect. Was, I think, the 16th overall pick last year by the Diamondbacks.
In that neighborhood, yeah.
And they gave up Phil Gosselin.
Nah.
utility bench scrub, who, by the way, has hurt himself on the DL. And that's it. That's it. You, when I heard this trade happen and I saw the terms, I was like, Toussaint must be really getting crushed in the minors and the Diamondbacks have no faith anymore. But that's not the case. I thought maybe Bronson Arroyo has 3 or 4 years left on this, like, mega contract and the Braves need to take that on. But no, just this year and then a buyout. So it's like, I'm struggling to come up with a more lopsided trade in, you know, my memory of baseball trades. It reminds me of a trade like in fantasy. If somebody offers you a bad trade, and you counter with this sarcastically bad trade. It seems like the sarcastically bad trade, and the Diamondbacks for some reason took it.
Yeah, we got them right where we want them. We're just going to wait for the sarcastically bad trade. All right, we do have plenty of fantasy baseball to talk about here. What a weekend of hitting, man. J.D. Martinez, 3 home runs yesterday. Justin Turner's been great. We'll talk about some of the weekend standouts, the ones who didn't face Max Scherzer. Oh, quick thought on what Jose Tabata did.
I didn't have a problem with it. If it happened in any other situation,
right.
I realize it was a, you know, very unique situation. Nobody, I don't think anybody would think anything of it. And I don't think he's stopped trying to win the game just because you're
right.
One pitch away from having a perfect game thrown against you.
Yeah, I agree. He didn't lean in quite enough to be outraged, but it was disappointing.
Yeah.
We got some MLB debuts to talk about. DFS, most added, who we added and dropped, plenty more here on Monday, June 22nd. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Email of the day number 1 is from Evaristo. He says, hello, fantasy baseball gurus. What do you think of Justin Turner? Is Justin Turner a must-add player in all format leagues? And he is 49% owned. Turner is homered in 3 straight games. He's batting .333 with 9 homers in 60 games.
Boy, he's picking it up before he's putting it down. I've been skeptical of the performance, but it dates back to last year, homered in 3 straight games, so it doesn't seem like he's slowing down in any way. And the numbers, I mean, the ratios are just, they look elite. I mean, he hasn't been playing literally every day, and there's still obviously the concern Hector Olivera is going to bump him out. So I put him a little less than must add, but at the same time, probably deserves to be more owned than he is.
Could, yeah, a lot more owned.
Could he potentially play shortstop if Olivera comes up?
I suppose, yeah. I mean, the Dodgers, you know, they've played Enrique Hernandez a bit at shortstop. They seem to mix and match a lot. So
Don Mattingly did say Corey Seager's the next in line if they have a need at shortstop.
Yeah.
So I guess he could change his mind, but.
Well, let's compare Turner to some other people with email of the day number 2 from Jake in Kansas City. Dear nerds, please rank top 3 rest of season. And I mean, well, Actually, no, never mind. Never mind. Forget what I was going to say. I was going to give an opinion, but it was wrong. Justin Turner, Matt Duffy, Danny Espinoza, Yunel Escobar. Now it gets tough. Devin Travis, Brock Holt. Justin Turner, Matt Duffy, Danny Espinoza, Yunel Escobar, Devin Travis, and Brock Holt. And I picked up Brock Holt in a few leagues. Al, I know you own him in one roto league, and I insist that you add him in daily leagues because his position eligibility is just absolutely awesome. But anyway, what's your top three rest of season from that group?
I'll start with Holt at three. I'll put Turner two. I still will put Travis number one.
Oh, you did a reverse countdown.
Yeah, it was weird. We don't usually do that, Al.
Well, because it felt like a better segue since you were just talking about Holt.
Okay, fair enough. So you go Travis, Turner, Holt, and Scott?
I would put Holt ahead of Turner because I think there are actually more playing time concerns with Turner than Holt. But those are the clear top three, I think.
Is it safe to say there are no playing time concerns right now with Turner? Is that a Nolivera thing that you're worried about?
Well, unless I'm missing something, Callaspo has been peppered in there every three or four games and getting starts at third base for the Dodgers. Now, some of those games, Turner's shifted over to first base, and Gonzalez has gotten a day off, but, you know, one of those days they had like a DH in there. It just looking at the breakdown of how the Dodgers have set their lineups, it doesn't look like a pure everyday role for Turner.
Okay. Well, he's playing very well. He's 49% owned. I'm sure he will be popular for you fantasy owners. Debutiful is our next category. Four major league debuts over the weekend, unless I'm missing one. And they range in beauty, but most of them are pretty beautiful. Matt Whistler for Atlanta, 21% owned. 8 innings, 1 run against the Mets Friday. Only 2 strikeouts. Cody Anderson for Cleveland, 6% owned. 7 2/3, 6 hits, 0 runs. 1 walk and 4 strikeouts against Tampa Bay. Justin Nicolino for Miami, scoreless over 7 innings, just 4 hits, 2 strikeouts. And Philadelphia's Adam Morgan, not to be confused with Adams Morgan, 1% owned, 1 run in 5 2/3. We got Whistler, Anderson, Nicolino, Morgan. Go ahead, Al.
I'm sorry, and I know this is going to feed the myth that I've lived everywhere, but I have lived in Adams Morgan, and I've never once made that connection.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty weak. Scott, did you make that connection?
No.
Really?
No. You know, you said Adams Morgan, and I chuckled because Al did and pretended like I knew what you were talking about. I don't know.
Is that Massachusetts, Al?
It's a neighborhood in D.C.
Oh, it's in D.C. That's right. Excuse me.
Yeah, about 2-3 miles straight north of the White House.
Oh, okay, cool.
And,
I've never been there.
All right, so as I was talking over you, did you wanted these guys ranked?
Well, who are you? Are you interested in picking up any of these guys? Whistler, Anderson, Nicolino, and Morgan.
I'm most interested in Whistler. I did pick up Anderson in an AL only league. I'm not really looking to get him in anything shallower than that. But yeah, no, I think Whistler's got the most potential out of this group. And you know, Nicolino, he may not be up for all that long. The Marlins, oddly enough, we're going to have a kind of a crunch in their rotation pretty soon. Although they are reportedly trying to trade Kohler and Brad Hand. But, yeah, Whistler's just the one because, yeah, I think that Park will play well for him, and he's a really, really good control pitcher.
Yeah. Of these four pitchers, the only one who is doing anything that I would consider impressive in the minors is Cody Anderson. Whistler, I do think he's the best prospect of the bunch, but he had like an ERA over 4 at AAA. So whatever that's worth. Anderson had a 1.89 ERA and 13 starts between Double and AAA with amazing control, but so-so K rate. So yeah, I wasn't rushing to pick him up in mixed leagues either. I wasn't rushing to pick any of these guys up, but I do think Whistler and Anderson are the two who another good starter too, and I probably will be looking to pick them up in mixed leagues.
Yeah, it's funny because the Whistler, Anderson, and Nicolino actually strike me as all very similar in the type of pitcher that they are. The thing too is that all of them, with the exception of Nicolino, had pretty good matchups, and Whistler and Anderson in particular had great matchups. Nicolino, in facing the Reds, they had Marlon Byrd back, and even without Byrd, they're a pretty good team against left-handed pitchers. So that one was very unexpected, I thought.
Yeah, Marlon Byrd is back, and he's pretty available. And he homered Friday, had 3 hits on Sunday. All right, let's go through the news here, and then we'll talk about who stood out over the weekend. We'll look at the most added and most dropped players. You know the drill. So the Kyle Schwarber is down in the minors. Do you think he's worth stashing? Cubs catcher, well, they insist he's going to be a catcher. Regardless, he's catcher eligible. Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, he's absolutely worth stashing.
What do you see the future looking like for Kyle Schwarber? Looking at your 8-ball.
Well, I don't really know, because it does seem like they're committed to working him in as a catcher, and that's why they've sent him back to the minors. They don't want to give up and put him in left field. But I just feel like they have to be thinking later this year to have called him up in the first place. Like, it wouldn't be worth calling him up for this random week mid-season just to wait until next year to bring him up, would it? Doesn't seem like it to me.
Yeah.
So
what is happening over there, by the way? Sounds like somebody's playing basketball.
Scott was just kind of beating the table for, yeah, like
Scott,
that.
You hear that?
Yeah. What did that table ever do to you?
Wow. These new headsets we got are
they're good.
Oh, yeah. People, if you have problems with the audio, those problems are gone. We have new headsets. Celebrate. Rejoice.
We have whole new problems now.
Yes.
You hear every little tap I make.
Stop banging the desk. So I know, Scott, you picked up Schwarber in 2 roto leagues, 2 catcher leagues. Are you going to drop him?
Not a chance.
Okay.
Not a chance.
Toronto is interested in Francisco Rodriguez, according to the Toronto Sun, and Brett Cecil has been really struggling lately. I think he's given up 4 home runs in his last 5 appearances.
I think it's kind of funny that the Blue Jays have been rumored to be interested in both K-Rod and Tyler Clippard of late. Not so much this year for K-Rod, but 2 pitchers who have been pretty homer-prone over their careers. And I think they need to sort of remember where they play their home games.
Well, I actually...
And what division they play in.
Yeah, it wouldn't be very good. But they need somebody, I guess. Cecil, he has been bad. The home run stat was actually about Soria. Soria has given up 4 home runs in his last 5 appearances. Cecil's just been, you know, 6 earned runs in his last 5 appearances. I'm not sure about the homers. But, I mean, looks like there could be some change there. Is there anybody in the Toronto bullpen that you would consider going after?
Steve Delabar.
Okay.
It was an all-star a couple years ago and then kind of fell off for mechanical reasons, or maybe there was an injury.
Yeah, a bad injury, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But he seems to be back.
Yeah.
In terms of whip and strikeout rate and everything else.
Cole Hamels insists he will start Wednesday against the Yankees. Start or sit, Cole Hamels?
I'd be inclined to start him.
Yeah, I think, well, they pretty much said it was just the one turn.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I'd start him.
Erasmo Ramirez left his Saturday start with a side injury.
Actually, I thought it was the groin.
Oh, it was a groin injury. Thank you.
Maybe the side of the groin.
That I chose not to get too specific there. Kevin Gausman was sent to AAA. He made a start on Saturday. Baltimore sees Gausman as a starting pitcher, but they're not saying when. Is he worth stashing, Kevin Gausman?
Not really. We've seen so much meh from him in the majors, which doesn't mean he's like never going to break through, but it just seems like you'll be able to see a start or two from him before you have to pick him up.
So it seems like Adrian Beltre could be back before the All-Star break, but right now he's having trouble gripping the bat, finding a way to grip it without his thumb hurting. So that stinks.
That's a problem.
Yeah,
you need that. Steven Strasburg, start or sit this week?
I'd probably sit him.
Yeah, unless it was a deep league.
Yeah. You know what else stinks about that Rangers situation, by the way?
What's that?
Rougned Odor is not playing every day.
That's only a matter of time, right?
Did you use stinks intentionally?
No.
Oh, no, I didn't catch that.
Which I had.
A rare case where the pun wasn't intended for Al.
Yeah.
Carlos, that's how good he's become at puns. Makes somebody who doesn't even know it. Carlos Gonzalez left Sunday's game with a sore hand. Starter sit cargo.
Oh, he's been so hot, but I'm probably going to sit him.
Yeah, me too.
Jose Altuve. Apparently, AJ Hinch thinks Altuve could play today. Start or sit Altuve?
Start.
Yep.
How about Carlos Gomez?
I think I'm starting him, too.
Yeah,
at least in a 5 outfielder league.
Positive reports on Gomez. Adam Jones, DH'd Friday and Saturday. He sat Sunday at Toronto. Start or sit Adam Jones?
Oh, I think I'll start him. Yeah.
Neil Walker's been out with a stomach ailment. Devin Travis should be back this week. Starter sit, Travis.
Deeper league, I'm probably going to start him, but I'd say in the shower league, I won't because he might not be back until Friday.
Lance Lynn, home against the Cubs. Starter sit this week. He should come off the DL and pitch Thursday.
Deep leagues, I'd start him, but otherwise, I'd sit him.
Freddie Freeman's going to have an MRI on his wrist. Starter sit, Frederick Freeman.
Sit.
Okay.
Haven't played in a while.
Sit, Freddie.
Yeah. Okay, so, how'd you guys feel about the Azerless podcast on Friday? It has been a long time since there's been a fantasy baseball podcast that I haven't been on. I think the last time I can remember was Nando did a catcher and a relief pitcher preview with you guys last year in, like, March. So I listened. I had a good time. I had fun, but I have four beefs with Chris Towers that I'll bring up on the show tomorrow.
Four beefs?
That's a lot of beef.
That is, where's the beef? We know. It's right here.
Yeah, and I don't think any of it had to do with actually his podcast hosting, just four beefs with Chris. But did you guys enjoy it?
I thought he did well. It was fun.
He did very well. Well done. I listened to it on Saturday, so after the fact, and you guys probably should have started Chris Sale in DFS that day.
Yeah, I should have. It didn't go well for me, but I did in a tournament have a Joe Ross team.
Yeah, nice.
And boy, if I just my hitters had come through, I'd be a wealthy man.
Yeah, it was kind of a Zigwell, everyone else zags day for hitters. So Sale was my top guy, and I had a Ross lineup too, but I win nothing.
I like FanDuel tonight. I've already got my lineup set. Of course, I'll probably change it a little bit, but there are some really good options out there, and I think it's a, you know, if you this a kind of a, I don't know, I want to say it's easier, but more clear choices today, I thought. And speaking of FanDuel, we're enjoying it. We're loving it. We play FanDuel every day. And entry fees start at just $1. So if you're worried about the money commitment, don't be worried about it. It's easy. You don't have to play every day. There's no season-long commitment. You just play one day, pick any day you want, pick every day you want. Stop waiting 6 months to try and win. Play today, win tonight. Go to FanDuel.com and use our offer code CBSPOD. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, type in CBSPOD, and for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. If you need more help, we'll help you out later on in the podcast, but also Daily Fantasy Live is at 6 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com every Monday through Friday. 6 p.m. Eastern. Check it out. We'll help you set your FanDuel lineup. All right, who'd you guys add and drop this weekend?
Well, speaking of somebody I didn't add or drop, but I think is we were just talking about him, and I don't want to go too long without talking about him more. Joe Ross. Who maybe some other people were looking to add or drop because Steven Strasburg coming back. The Nationals have confirmed that Ross is going to be the odd man out there. You guys talked about it last week, I think on a show where I wasn't on, last Monday. I picked up Ross in several leagues and I haven't been interested in dropping him yet because I'm hoping that they'll come up with something that's wrong with Doug Fister. To keep him in there, because this start he had Friday, 11 strikeouts. Was it a complete game, or was it just short of that?
I think it was just short.
11 and 7 and a third. That's 19 strikeouts versus 2 walks in his last 2 starts. Clearly, it doesn't look like a 22-year-old Ross brother, because the control is so good.
Well, Tyson, maybe he's inspiring Tyson, as Tyson finally had a good start.
Yeah, it seemed like it. Like, man, I can't let little brother show me up.
Exactly. Yeah, 23% owned Joe Ross. So you're saying hold on to him?
You know, at least until we see Doug Fister make his next start, I would say.
So you wouldn't drop him for Matt Whistler, who's owning right around the same amount of leagues?
No. If Matt Whistler had like 5 strikeouts instead of 2, maybe. But 2 strikeouts in 8 innings, I'm just a little reluctant to buy into that fully. Especially since, like I said, he wasn't setting the world on fire at AAA.
Would you rather have Joe Ross or Trevor May?
Trevor, well, no, wait a second. I'll hold on to Ross for now. But May's somebody I might drop Ross for when we see Fister start again.
So other adds and drops, guys?
Well, I sort of belatedly picked up Brett Oberholzer as a 2-star pitcher in a couple leagues. Because in doing my research for the pitching column, I realized he's actually been really good this year, and he's improved because in the past he's been a guy who really relied a lot on control and finesse, and he's been better at that this year than he's probably ever been, but he's also getting more ground balls, so he doesn't need to operate on such a thin margin. And with two starts and really good matchups in those starts, you know, I thought that he was almost a must add for this week, even though he's highly available. And then in terms of hitters in our podcast league, I ditched Neil Walker and his sorry list of stats and replaced him with Jace Peterson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bold moves.
Yeah. Well, I need to get bold in the podcast league and bust a move. I finally dropped Elvis Andrews, who wasn't really doing anything for me, on my bench, and picked up Kevin Pillar.
No, and Kevin Pillar. What do you think about Pillar? Is this legit? He's one of the most added players. He's the fifth most added player, Kevin Pillar.
I think it could be. I'm not convinced of it, but again, it's the point of the season where I'm willing to take more risks. And he's lately looking more like the kind of player who I thought he might be if he achieved his upside this year, but the first 2 months of the season, he wasn't really doing that. In fact, he almost looked like he kind of taken a mini step backwards. But he's shown more power lately.
The OPS is still like embarrassing, like sub 700, and yet the point production is there. It's kind of like, kind of seems like a poor man's Charlie Blackman to me. Is that what you're going to
yes!
say?
Yes, exactly.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, sorry to steal your thunder.
No, it's confirmation. Validation.
So I wasn't picking him up, but I hear you on that. I did pick up Brock Holt in a couple leagues. Adam, wait. Yeah, and I dropped Vincent Velasquez.
Ah, yes. Velasquez. What to do with Vincent Velasquez? Is it worth hanging on to the upside, or are we done with him?
It's not like he's dead to me. It's not one of those situations, but three starts in and no progress, in fact, seems to be going the other way with all the walks and you know, didn't last very long at all in this most recent start. So it just doesn't seem like he's worth protecting anymore, would probably be the best way to put it.
Would you drop Vincent Velasquez for Kendall Graveman, a guy that I picked up in two leagues this week, actually?
Yeah.
I would, too.
Yeah.
Would you drop Velasquez for Ivan Nova?
I don't think so.
Yeah, neither would I, but I might like Patrick Corbin or Matt Moore at this point because they're both getting close.
Would you rather have Velasquez or Chase Anderson?
I would rather have Velasquez.
Me too.
I dropped Jake McGee, and Scott added Jake McGee in a roto league.
Well, that's what I was going to point out when I said Adam and then interrupted myself.
Now, I'll say that I had five closers in that league, and I really wanted to get Brock Holt. And I just think Boxberger's probably the guy, even though I think this time last week I was like, it's pretty clear Jake McGee is the closer now.
Right, that's the thing. But Boxberger got three consecutive save opportunities. Two of those games, I think McGee worked the eighth. So, yeah, I mean, as clear as it can be, it seems like it's Boxberger again. But if I own one, I'm not dropping the other.
I wouldn't have necessarily dropped McGee because, first of all, you could still get really good whip and he's still a good pitcher. I wouldn't have necessarily dropped him, but it was a situation where I have five closers. I only start three a week, and nobody seemed to want to make a trade in that league. So, enjoy.
Who's to say McGee doesn't get the next three save opportunities? I mean, at this point, it just seems almost random.
Yeah, and then Boxberger will get the three after that. So,
yeah,
I dropped Byron Buxton in a 10-team league, 10-team roto. Just you know, his minor league numbers, Buxton, they weren't good enough, and he came up from double A. Am I wrong about that? I mean, he came up from double A, and he wasn't tearing it up or anything. So.
Well, he was recently. Okay. He got off to a very slow start.
I guess I'm not shocked that he's struggling, and I'm not saying that you should completely give up on him, but I found him to be expendable in a league where I was streaming starting pitchers to try to get wins and strikeouts. I found him to be expendable in a 10-team league. That's all I'm saying for Byron
Buxton. Yeah, I think that's probably about the only format, or obviously shallower, that I would drop Buxton in. And he has been pretty slow when getting promoted in the past. So,
right. I might try to pick him up again, actually.
Be patient with him.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point. Any other important ad drops, guys?
Nothing earth-shaking, but in deeper leagues, I take that back. In including a 12-team, two-catcher league, I picked up Josh Fegley.
Yeah, that's a good call on that one. Okay, Brock Holt's number one most added. Tommy Malone is number two. He's a two-star pitcher, Al, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah, he is. Kyle Schwarber is three.
Matchups this week.
Oh, cool. Kyle Schwarber three, Justin Turner four, Kevin Pillar five, Chase Anderson six. How about this one? Miguel Sano is number seven. When do you think we might see Sano?
He's going to be the next big prospect up. And if it was tomorrow, it wouldn't shock me. That was actually when you moved on after asking, is there anyone else? I was like, oh, I should have said Miguel Sano. So I'm saying it now. If you're looking to stash a prospect, he's the one.
He's third base eligible, but we think he's going to play the outfield?
I would think so. I don't think Trevor Plouffe is going anywhere.
Okay, so he should get outfield eligibility then. Jesse Chavez, go ahead.
Scott, you think, who's up first, Sano or Mats? I think
Okay, that's fair. I guess I was thinking more in terms of hitters.
Right.
It could be Mats instead, but one of those two.
Jesse Chavez is 83% owned. He's the eighth most added player. Chavez, you think he's legit?
Not quite. Not in terms of sustaining what he's done so far. I think his next start at Texas is going to be a really interesting test.
Yeah. Okay. But I do think he's worth owning to the extent he is.
Joe Ross is 9.
There is some regression to come.
Randall Grichuk is 10.
Brett Overholt. He had a big weekend.
Yeah. You could do worse than Grichuk. He's 25% owned. Would you rather have Grichuk or Marlon Byrd?
I'd rather have Byrd.
Yeah. Grichuk kind of aspires to what Byrd is, I think.
Chris Parmalee is on the most added list. He's been quiet. Right?
He has since the first two big games. And it's not clear what his role is exactly.
Kevin Segrist is on the most added list, but it looks like Trevor Rosenthal's fine. And Billy Burns is 79% owned.
Billy Burns.
Boy, he's been incredible.
He has.
Should he be more owned?
I mean, I haven't looked up the numbers recently. I know Harper had two home runs this weekend, but as of Friday, since becoming an everyday player, Burns had outscored Bryce Harper in points leagues.
Yeah, I picked up Harper.
But the point is, he'd been really good.
I picked up Harper in a few leagues.
You're playing against yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
This guy's injured. I'm going to drop him.
Oh, man. As a Harper owner on my best team, he gets the hamstring injury on Thursday, and I'm just, oh, here we go. And then he misses Friday, comes back, and homers on Saturday, homers on Sunday. That is awesome.
See, Thursday, that's the point at which Dave Stewart would have traded him.
I still think, I don't know if anybody's going to do this, but they might. I'm going to put out the offer, Harper for Trout, and see what happens. You know?
You're going to try and get Trout with Harper?
Yeah.
Huh?
I mean, Trout, interesting. Harper's been better, and it wouldn't be a shock if he's better this year by any means. But
no.
I still fear the injury from Harper.
Yeah.
I like it. Watch
Trout be the one to get injured.
I know.
Yeah, Hunter Pence and Adam Jones can't stay in the lineup lately, and they've been consistent 160-game guys.
Hey, finally people are starting to drop Jared Weaver. Good for you. He's 78% owned, and now he's on the DL. Aaron Harang is on the most drop list, 66% owned. Ender Inciarte is on the most drop list. He's on the DL. The most drop list is typically boring, although Trevor May is on it. I think people ditching him after the two-start week, but the last one was good. So should people be considering Trevor May as something more than just a two-star guy?
I think they should start to, not only just because he's improved, but actually this week he's got a really good matchup in his one start. I'm not remembering it off the top of my head, but I'm looking it up, and it's the Brewers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So yeah, you could start him this week with that one start.
Fellas, who stood out to you over the weekend?
I'm going to go, now you talked about some of the, surprising debuts, and I'm going to go with a rookie who's been up for a while, Michael Lorenzen. And you look at his peripherals, and, we've dismissed guys with better peripherals than what Lorenzen has. They're pretty terrible. Not a great strikeout rate, a terrible walk rate. He's given up a lot of home runs. But yet, since he's been reintroduced back into the Reds rotation, I think he has just one sub-quality start so far. And again, we've dismissed guys like Pelfrey, who've been on, extended hot streaks. But the main reason why I'm giving Lorenzen a second look was that I was just doing a search on Baseball Savant for a different player earlier in the week.
Nerd.
And the thing I was sorting by was percentage of fly balls hit over 300 feet. And I was just scrolling down the list and scrolling. And down near the very bottom was Lorenzen, who's given up 33 fly balls, not including the pop-ups, and only 11 of them have gone 300 feet or more. Now that could just be a small sample thing, but you know, when you look on this list, guys who tend to give up a lot of long distance fly balls are guys you would expect that would, like Aaron Harang and CC Sabathia, Phil Hughes, and guys at the bottom of the list are guys that you know, who don't give up a lot of extra base hits. So I have to wonder if, you know, there's something to this with Lorenzen. And plus just the fact that, you know, he's a former reliever who's still, I think, learning how to start and learn to pitch in the big league. So there's upside there, and I think there's room for him to improve in the areas where he hasn't been so good.
Cool. Scott?
All right. Can I give you a couple players here?
You guys can always give more than one. Always.
Oh, man. Maybe even more than that. Yeah. All right. So this guy's highly owned, but just to confirm what I was saying
Mookie Betts.
Last week. What?
Mookie Betts.
Absolutely, Mookie Betts. Yes,
he's hitting 277 now.
Just like that. That's what happens when you hit 594 during an eight-game stretch with three home runs, three doubles, two triples, and a steal.
Yeah, he's incredible.
And
right now,
I think this is the Mookie Betts we were all waiting to see. It did peripherally. He still looked like he should be much better than a 240 hitter, and he was still very productive in fantasy despite hitting only 240. But I think there's no looking back at this point with Betts. He's just taking off and is going to be an elite player from here on out. The other one I wanted to mention was Victor Martinez, who homered off Masahiro Tanaka Sunday. And that was in his third game back from the DL, where supposedly his knee, her surgically repaired knee, had some time to heal. He homered off Tanaka. He had entered the game batting 143 with one extra base hit against righties all season, so batting left-handed. That seemed to be the side of the plate that was, the knee was giving him so much trouble. Three hits overall, all three of them against right-handed pitchers. So, that's enough validation for me to go ahead and start Victor Martinez this week.
Yeah.
Probably in most every league where I own him.
Very encouraging. Very encouraging, and I think now it's time to talk about J.D. Martinez, who had three home runs yesterday. And right now, Martinez is the number 18 outfielder in points leagues, number 13 in Roto. And three homer games maybe should be put in perspective. Joey Votto's got one home run in 11 games since his three homer game. They don't necessarily mean much. In fact, I saw a stat, I think, on MLB Network today of the last players to hit three home runs against the Yankees, and, oh man, two of them. Like Kevin Millar was one of them. So, you know, it happens, but I just thought I'd bring it up and, you know, would you try to sell high on J.D. Martinez? What do you think?
I mean, that's six home runs in his last eight games now. It wasn't an out of nowhere three homer game, and suddenly he's on a near 40 homer pace.
Yeah.
That's elite power production from a guy who in three quarters of a season looked like he could be that kind of power hitter. Now, the batting average hasn't been where it was last year, but I don't know that anyone was really expecting it to, given the BABIP and the lack of plate discipline. So I think he's just kind of this Nelson Cruz type player that, that might sound like an overstatement because Cruz still has a high batting average this year, but again, I don't think anyone really sees Cruz as a high batting average guy.
Max Scherzer, anything to say about him? Last two starts, 18 innings, one hit, one walk, and 26 strikeouts.
Nothing really to say about him, only that what he is doing and what Chris Sale has been doing lately just makes me think even more that no longer can we just assume that Clayton Kershaw is number one far and away. I think it's a three-headed monster.
That's the only thing the only angle I could think of from this too.
Yeah. Is Kershaw still number one, though?
I think not. I think I'm going to move Scherzer ahead of him.
No!
Sorry.
You're getting tricked. He's still Kershaw. He's still Kershaw.
For the most part, yeah, but Scherzer is somebody. He's not still Scherzer.
He is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I'll give him that much. Okay, and I just thought it was interesting. Romanus Elias had a great start, even though he gave up two home runs, but those were the only runs he gave up. Seven innings, four hits, two runs, no walks, 10 strikeouts. And that is two earned runs or less in six of his last eight starts for Elias, who's owned in 35% of leagues.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be coming into his own here. And my biggest concern with Elias is actually just the lack of run support that he's likely to get.
All right. Hitters to talk about. Let's see. There's not much. We kind of covered everything. Yasmani Grandal, two homers yesterday. Carlos Beltran, Stephen Drew had two homer games over the weekend. Chris Bryant struggling. Would you give any thought to benching Chris Bryant?
Oh, no.
Okay. And then let's get into the pitchers. Here we go. Trust issues. Tell me if you trust these guys. Julio Teheran had a very good start against the Mets. Tyson Ross, complete game, one run, one walk, nine strikeouts at Arizona. Noah Syndergaard let us down at Atlanta with three earned runs in four innings. And Gio Gonzalez had a good start against Pittsburgh on Sunday, seven scoreless innings. So do you trust them? Let's say this week, I will tell you I do not trust Julio Teheran this week because I want to see him have a good road start. He has one start. It's on the road. I think it's at Pittsburgh. I can try to check that. But his home road splits are so crazy. So yeah. Anyway, go they on. Are. Discuss.
And his lefty-righty splits are, too.
And his Mets versus non-Mets. Actually, I don't know how many times he's faced the Mets this year.
I'm encouraged by Teheran's start. If it was it's not a two-star week, is it?
No.
No, of course not, because he just started.
Right.
If it was, maybe I'd run him out there, but I need to see more for a one-star week. The one I trust, and it's not to say I absolutely wouldn't start any of the other three, but the one I actually trust the most is Noah Syndergaard.
Right. Okay. So this bad start didn't mean much to you?
Not really, because the strikeouts and the walks are still where I like to see them, and I know one of the bad starts recently was that weird double digit strikeout game that just made absolutely no sense.
Yeah, the one at San Diego.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of interesting with Syndergaard because I have him in a daily league and I sat him at home against the Blue Jays because I figured he'd get beaten up and he was incredible.
That was the best start. Yeah.
And then I started him on the road at Pittsburgh and or no at Atlanta, excuse me, and oops.
Yeah, at Atlanta.
That didn't make
Atlanta.
Any sense.
You shouldn't underestimate those Braves, Adam.
I guess not.
They are.
Well, I just thought without Phil Gosselin, they wouldn't really be able to do much, you know?
Yeah.
And Teheran is at Pittsburgh this week. Anything else on these guys? Tyson Ross? Gio?
No, I feel sort of the same way about Ross. I think I trust Ross more than Teheran at this point, but I do want to see more consistency in his control going forward before I trust him every week.
And Gonzalez is probably the one I trust the least of the four, just because there doesn't seem to be any like quick fix possibility there, because it's not clear if there's anything wrong. He's just inconsistent.
These next two guys, tell me if they are becoming studs. Taijuan Walker, Carlos Rodon.
Walker clearly is. I mean, this has been a nice run that he's on, and it's like he flipped a switch at some point about a month and a half ago, and he's totally trustworthy for me at this point. Rodon, not as much consistency there. I think he is becoming a stud, but I think you're going to...
Very slowly.
Yeah, well, he just only goes six innings every time.
Yeah, and then the strikeouts aren't consistent and the walks aren't consistent. Walker, 38 strikeouts to three walks in his last five starts. That's...
Mm-hmm. And
awesome.
A 2.04 ERA in that stretch, and he's 4-1, and he's really pitching great. Struggling studs. All right, one of the more interesting ads I saw this week, one that I missed. I wish I had seen he was available. I would have put in a claim. I don't know who would have won it, but Scott picked up Andrew Cashner in our podcast league.
Ah, I didn't even know I did.
Yeah, you did, and he had another bad start, and maybe you sit him right now. In his last five starts, Cashner's 0-2 with a 7.62 ERA, but I still feel like you got to own him.
So you're saying somebody hacked your waiver? your waiver?
No,
page?
I think it was a weird situation where I put in the claim Saturday night, and oh, you know what it was?
He was on waivers.
He was just
dropped.
Yeah,
he was on waivers. Yeah.
Okay.
So
Cashner struggled.
Later than I thought it would.
I'm going to read a whole bunch of names and tell me. I'll do this in two parts. So first part, part one. Cashner, Waka, Tanaka, Carrasco. Who's anybody worried about any of those four guys?
Actually, Cashner.
Yeah.
Okay.
The others, no.
Not that I was shocked somebody dropped Cashner, but I do agree with the assessment that he needs to be owned because, you know, the record's obviously horrendous, but until the last four starts, I think it is, he had pitched better than maybe he ever has. So I just kind of feel like he's kind of in his own head right now and struggling to kind of put himself in even more of a mess than he was in because of the win-loss record. And I think he'll figure it out, though.
Yeah.
Carlos Carrasco's a must-start for you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Next
group. And then the other two, we sort of chuckled, Waka Tanaka. But, you know, don't forget this coming Saturday is Wada Waka. It's Wada Waka Day.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. So the next group, Corey Kluber. He's been kind of bad. He's been disappointing lately. Dallas Keuchel had his worst start of the year. I'll stop there because the next three are just, they might
not
be
really
owned
studs
in a lot of leagues, but they're not in the same class. Anybody worried about Kluber or Keuchel?
No, I'm not. I know Kluber's in a little bit of a down spell again, but, you know, we've seen what he's capable of after, you know, coming off of a much worse stretch than this. Dallas Keuchel had regression written all over him. This was not a good start for him. The three home runs is definitely something you don't expect to happen against Keuchel, but I do think he's going to find the happy medium, and he won't be elite, but he will be must start.
Now, these next three guys are owned in between 89% and 95% of leagues. Justin Verlander is off to a bad start so
Dump
far.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah?
Verlander? Yeah. Okay. It's over, right? Like, how are we still holding out hope at this point?
Well, he only gave up two runs. He gave up two runs in his first start in five innings.
Well, I don't remember it being a good start.
It wasn't.
He gave up two runs.
It was only five innings, three hits, two runs, two walks, two strikeouts. It wasn't.
Okay, maybe the two strikeouts are what I was focusing on. And the fact, like I said, is the velocity's not any better. I just think it's become clear now, this is the third year of this, this going on, that he's not a pitcher who can survive on 94-mile-per-hour fastballs, which, you know, plenty of pitchers can, but that's not the kind of pitcher he developed into, and he just hasn't figured out how to pitch like that.
Edinson Volquez and Alfredo Simon are 89% owned. So the question is really, like, okay, if with the case of Volquez and Simon, they've been good for you, but maybe you need a Brock Holt or something like that, or maybe you want to get Sano.
Yeah.
How expendable are Volquez and Simon? Are they less expendable than Verlander?
They're less expendable than Verlander, but they're not. You're not counting on them to be the difference between a title and not this year. So, if you have a greater need, I could see dropping them. You're probably going to lose them to somebody else, especially Volquez.
Okay. Yeah, Volquez, I was like kind of ready to be like, you should drop him, but looking at his last 21 starts of 2014 after he had a bit of a rough stretch in May, he had a 2.45 ERA in his last 21 starts. You know, that's 4 months of the season, 3 or 4 months of the season. So, you know, it's not like he faded at the end of last year. Okay, fringy starting pitchers part one. These guys are 65% to 80% owned. We got Chris Heston, Mike Bolsinger, Yovani Gallardo, Jose Quintana, Phil Hughes, Nick Martinez, Aaron Harang, and Vince Velasquez. Heston, Bolsinger, Gallardo, Quintana, Hughes, Martinez, Harang, Velasquez. Who's the best of the bunch? Who are the two or three best?
Jose Quintana.
Yeah.
Is far and away the best. I have no idea how he's owned in so few leagues. His last... Oh man, let me.
Eight of his
last
11 10.
Starts. It dates back into April. He has a 2.99 ERA. And this was a guy who was getting drafted in like the middle rounds. I don't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, eight of his last 10 have been quality starts. So it goes back to 11 starts for Quintana. Anyone else? I'm convinced that Bolsinger is not good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely agree with Scott that Quintana is the only one to really be worth messing with at this point. I mean, Velasquez, I think, is worth a stash if you can afford the space because of the upside.
I haven't been motivated to drop Heston yet in the leagues where I own him. The highs have been so high. It's not just the no-hitter. Obviously, the two starts since then kind of shaky.
I did dump him. It wasn't really easy to do it. I don't think he's bad. He's probably third or fourth on this list for me. But, yeah, good ground ball guy. Pitches in a great park, but you can't count on the control or the strikeouts.
It's almost July, and Yovani Gallardo's ERA is under 3. Should we be taking it more seriously?
Well, I hadn't noticed the ERA, I'll admit. I know he's on a nice little run last 6 starts. But I remember at the beginning of last year, he got off to this really good start in terms of win-loss record and ERA, and Al and I kept saying, he's not very good. Like, sell high on him. Do whatever you can to get what value you can while he has these numbers. Because he's just, since he stopped being a strikeout pitcher a few years ago, there's just not enough else there for him to really measure up in fantasy. And I think that still applies despite him being on a decent run right now. It's not like the strikeouts have picked up apart from one of those starts.
He's sort of become Chris Heston. Actually, he's more of a ground ball guy.
Oh, okay.
You know, so there's something to it, but you know, he's also kind of replaceable.
Just had a thought here. Can't believe I didn't have this thought earlier. Happy first Father's Day to Scott White.
Oh my God. Oh, yes.
Thank you.
What'd you do? Did you get a tie? Did your son give you a tie?
No. No, no ties. My wife made me this cool thing though. It was like a pack of baseball cards, and it was like rookie of the year, like as a father. See, I mean, you can't see
cool.
it because it's a podcast. But
this is awesome.
Yeah,
here you can see now on Skype, right?
Oh, hold on, let me get this.
It was like a pack of. It looked like a pack of baseball cards, and then you ripped it open, and it was 20 cards of me, like. Rookie of the year, which is kind of weird.
Oh, that is really
cool. It was cool.
Scott with his baby. That
yeah,
is great.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
Cool. Good Father's Day present. I didn't get anything, so you're lucky. You're lucky,
man. No, it was
man.
Good. We enjoyed some barbecue Saturday night.
Perfect.
Yeah, spent some time with the in-laws Sunday. I'm not the only father, of course.
Right.
But that was good, too.
Where'd you get your barbecue on Saturday?
Well, this is going to probably sound unimpressive. Smoky Bones.
Okay. No, because we did too. We went to Shorty's.
Oh, okay. I love Smoky Bones, though.
Oh, you guys went out
to
barbecue.
Their baked beans set them apart.
I thought you meant you had a barbecue.
No.
Okay.
No, I actually ate barbecue.
Good.
It's my favorite type of food.
Oh. Well, that's
yeah.
Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah.
So, guys, I have a list of like 78 million pitchers on the rundown here. If you want to just take a look. Anybody stands out to you? Charlie Morton, you're hanging on to him. Yeah.
Deeper than 12-team mixed, I am.
Okay.
But in shallower, he's a streaming option anyway.
Okay. There's anyone else? Oh, Ruby De La Rosa. You know, 2 really good ones in a row now. Although he had 3 walks and 7 innings in this last start, but... We're talking 1 earned run over 15 innings in 2 starts now for De La Rosa, who's 48% owned. I don't know. Just kind of all these guys, they're all kind of meh to me. I thought maybe he would be one that stood out. And if the Yankees could just keep Adam Warren in the rotation, he's been really good. I know you guys don't really seem to like him, but I think he's a good pitcher.
His last start was the best one yet.
Yeah, but he keeps getting better.
Seems like it.
Except I think he had a little hiccup in Baltimore or something, but mostly better.
Well, in this list here that starts with De La Rosa, and it looks like you have about 8 pitchers here, Trevor May and Roenis Elias are the ones that stand out to me. I think those are the guys that, I mean, De La Rosa, his splits are just so lopsided that I can't trust him on a week-to-week basis. I think I'd be much closer to doing that with May and Elias.
Bullpen. So David Robertson has... he blew a save. He blew his 4th save, but he's been pretty good. Hector Rondon got a save on Saturday. Pedro Strop pitched the 8th. Mott pitched the 9th, and Rondon got the save in extra innings. Soria's been bad. Carson Smith got the save on Saturday, his 11th save. And we talked about Cecil and Boxberger. Anything pressing there that we need to discuss?
No, I don't think Soria's in jeopardy or Robertson either. That is kind of an alarming blown saves total for this early in the year, but the numbers apart from that still look so good that I wouldn't worry about him.
And injuries. Jairus Familia, groin injury, should be available Tuesday, though. Jonathan Scope began a rehab assignment Friday. Seattle hired Edgar Martinez to be their hitting coach, and Pablo Sandoval and Blake Swihart are expected to be back soon for Boston. We'll talk DFS in a second and emails in a second, but I just want to tell you guys that I no longer am a hypocrite. I've been bitching about the Royals All-Star Game thing, but I finally voted.
Oh, good for you. Every day we talk about this with Heath because Heath is a Royals fan who refuses to admit the wrongdoing that's happening here.
Yeah.
And every day I say, I'm going to correct this, and then I never do. So I'm just all talk.
Yeah, well, I did vote. I voted for one Royal, and it was, actually, I think it was Alcides Escobar.
Ooh.
Believe it or not. Because I could not, in good faith, put a shortstop who has 20 or more errors in Marcus Semien starting in the All-Star game.
There was somebody who suggested a shortstop to us last week, and I can't remember who it was, but it was like a head slapper, like, you know, of course this would be the guy to vote
Bogarts?
For. And again, I've already forgotten it.
Was it Bogarts?
I don't think it was.
Was it Reyes, who's been hurt so much of the year?
I don't think it was.
Well, good grief.
There's no head slapper. There's no way.
All right. I'm going to get to the bottom of
this. Yeah, all right. Meanwhile, I'll read some emails.
No. Well, Carlos Correa? No.
No, of course not.
There's nobody.
All
right. There's no head slappers.
I dropped it.
Okay, emails. From John W. He says, Dear Peter, James, and John, I have these four outfielders in a 10-team head-to-head points league. Jock Peterson, Starling Marte, Springer, and Betts. And I have to sit one. Oh, man. Peterson, Marte, Springer, or Betts. Who do you play?
I mean, I think I would sit probably either Marte or Betts, and yet I'm completely on board with what Scott was saying about Betts earlier. Change the format in your league, quick.
You don't have a utility spot? Honestly.
I guess I'm sitting Marte, but boy, that's a tough call.
Ooh. Yeah.
Wow. I probably sit Peterson.
Well,
he's picked it up. He's had three extra base hits in his last three games, but...
Peterson.
Yeah, all right. Whatever. It's a tough call. Scott, you want
to
break
it? You know, Marte crushes lefties and Peterson crushes righties, so maybe it comes down to that. I can't think off the top of my head. I think the Pirates face a bunch of righties this week.
Okay.
So check that out.
Justin from Michigan is in a head-to-head categories league. It's 12 teams. He just got offered McCutchen, DeGrom, and Melanson for Giancarlo Stanton. Would you do that?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Jeez, I might take McCutchen for Stanton straight up.
McCutchen. We'll talk more about McCutchen later this week. Been good, but I want him to be better. Don't you guys want him to be better?
I want everybody to be better, Adam. I want you to be better.
No.
We're going to bring Chris in again.
Next up, Mike from New Jersey. Should I drop Marcelo Zuna in a 12-team head-to-head league for Billy Burns, Marcus Semien, Yasmani Grandal, Yan Gomes, Eduardo Rodriguez, or Matt Latos?
Yep, say it with me, Scott. Drop him for Billy Burns.
Gosh, I love Billy Burns, but I don't know how I'd pass up on Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Or Semien.
Well, I just wanted to say it with Al. I agree. And Grandal's up there, too.
Yeah.
In terms of how owned he should be.
These are good players.
All three of them should be owned more than Ozuna.
From Mikey, who should I play this week? Yelich, Burns, Maben. Pick one. Categories.
Billy Burns.
Or McGee or Boxberger. Who should I go with?
I guess go with the hot ninth inning hand, Boxberger.
Hello, Sheldon, Leonard, and Penny. This is from Brad. Is Steven Strasburg a must-start in Roto?
Well, given that, I said earlier in the show I'd sit him this week, I'd have to say no.
Okay.
Might be after this week.
Yeah.
Adam from Chicago. I have Betances and Kenley Jansen. Should I start them this week instead of Carrasco in a points league?
I could go for that.
I'd probably start Carrasco over Jansen, but it's a close call.
Brian from Miami Lakes, Florida. Who will be better rest of season, Syndergaard or Mats?
Syndergaard.
I agree.
Syndergaard it is.
They could both be good, though.
Oh, look at that. Peter, James, and John. Those were biblical references. I'm sure most people knew that, but I didn't because, you know, I'm not good at stuff like that. Okay,
yeah.
FanDuel's fun today. Really like FanDuel.
I feel like really small slates. It's fun.
It's not that small. That's the thing. There's 7 games.
Ooh.
Oh! You just called me out.
7 games is pretty small.
I don't think so.
In baseball, how often do we have a day with less than 10 games?
Well yeah,
I guess,
but
sometimes if you divide, you're separating the days
right
from night games as we do in FanDuel, I guess.
And I think that there's a great combination of really good pitchers and really hittable pitchers, so that there are obvious choices to be made. And I'm just going to pull up the prices here really quickly.
Yeah, so, while you're doing that, I see what you're saying. I mean, it seems like it should be pretty easy to set your lineup today, and I was going to sort of poo-poo that and say, well, there's no challenge. But given how badly I've been doing with the more challenging options, I should probably just, you know, accept the gift horse. And
it's never that easy. And, in fact, there are a lot of enticing pitching options if you don't want to spend big on Kershaw or Felix or Pineda. I am absolutely going with Michael Pineda home against the Phillies. The Phillies are just absolutely terrible.
Top lineup, your top pitcher today, Pineda?
For the money, yes. I think he has a much better chance of getting a win than either Clayton Kershaw or Felix Hernandez. But Kershaw could strike out 15 Cubs, and it wouldn't be the least bit surprising. But
yeah,
it's
really that. You're right. It's a difficult decision, but I think either one is going to be good. I'll probably go with Kershaw for the extra money. But of the lesser options, certainly, you know, I would be good with playing Pineda in a tournament. And I might even be good with playing Tsuyoshi Wada in a tournament.
Oh, gosh, he's been so bad other than his last start. And
the Dodgers aren't that good against lefties, and Wada could get some strikeouts.
Oh, my gosh, I am so stupid. I made a whole lineup based on him being a righty, and he's a lefty. And now I have to reevaluate everything I've said because I had Grandal, I had Peterson, I had Rollins in there. I was so excited for this stack.
Well, you can replace it with a Yankee stack against Kevin Correa.
I have Yankees in there.
Here's my embarrassing admission along the same lines. It's probably even worse. The other day we were talking about Ryan Vogel's song, I think, against Mariners and how you got to get all the left-handed Mariners in your lineup. And I was including Nelson Cruz among them because I had decided he was a switch hitter.
Oh, why? That's weird. Wait, I have...
It's a blip in the matrix.
I have something to say.
Okay.
I just want to look up the numbers really quick. Give me 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. Okay, Tsuyoshi Wada. He might be a lefty, but...
No, he's definitely a lefty.
He is a lefty. But lefties have an OPS of almost 1,100 against him.
Oh, this year in very limited innings.
But he's been so bad this year. And yeah, it is pretty limited.
Yeah. You don't want to start him in a cash game. You know, you don't want to go anywhere close to that. But just, you know, in a tournament game, put a buck on him, you know.
If
he has a good game. You get a few extra good hitters in there. It could work for
you. You know who I like even more as a tournament play today? He's 800 more, but that's not a ton more. Hector Santiago against the Astros.
Yeah,
he has more strikeout potential, and obviously that's a strikeout-prone team.
And I like the thought of Hutchinson at Tampa Bay, but I just want to see him have a good road start before I go with him. But I think between Kershaw, Felix, and Pineda, if you want to spend big on pitcher, you can. All right, I can't use Grandal then, even though he had 2 homers yesterday. Maybe I'll go McCann for 500 extra at home against Kevin Correa. I do think the Yankees, especially Yankees lefties, are a good stack today. Who else do you guys like? I like Indians lefties against Kyle Ryan and Brandon Moss.
I think you did it again there.
But the splits. I looked at the splits.
Okay.
Lefties are hitting him well. So, and Brantley and Moss are pretty cheap. I don't know if I'd go with Moss. I think I have Brantley in my lineup. I'll look at the splits again. Ryan is a lefty. I know that, but he is struggling against lefties. They have an 882 OPS. But it's only 23 at-bats. So I don't know what to make of that, guys. Man, FanDuel's a lot harder today than I thought it was. It's probably not. I just need to re-research. That's all.
Well, you know, we talked about the Yankee stack. I also like a twin stack against John Danks.
Yes, thank you.
Pretty good against lefties. So get your Dozier, get your Plouffe, maybe get your Kenneth Vargas in there.
What do you think about Cano for $2,300 against Joe Blanton? And Blanton's actually been kind of good this year, but I have doubts about it. And
well, it's one star, right?
Yeah, but in the bullpen he was actually pretty good all year.
Yeah, I'd be fine starting Mariners against him. Cano is a good price. Nelson Cruz, who homered I think Sunday, is down to $3,300. So,
oh wow,
righty or switch hitter or not, I think he's a good play against Blanton tonight.
Yeah, and I know Adrian Gonzalez is facing a lefty, but he is cheap. He is $2,900. Might want to consider him. Torrey Hunter has good career numbers against John Danks, by the way, $2,600, but he's been pretty bad. But 52 at bats, batting .327 with 4 home runs. That's pretty much all I got for you. So I think the best thing to do would be to watch the live show, because the live show will know the handedness of the starting pitchers.
Yeah, I'll be corrected before I get on the show. Or actually, I'm not on the show today, Al is. But Al is an encyclopedia of handedness of pitchers and batters.
Go play FanDuel and have
last
fun.
Last week, I sent out a lineup on Twitter that had Seth Smith in it, even though he was facing Brett Oberholzer, who I momentarily thought was a righty. So we've all done it.
Okay.
We've all been there.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good to be back. Stay tuned tomorrow. I tell you the things I didn't like about Chris Towers on Friday. Scott now. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See ya.
All right. Happy belated Father's Day to everybody, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday.